You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, Series 3, Episode 7. John, it's been another week of absolute turmoil for the FAI. We're going to kick the show off tonight by talking again once again about John Delaney and the latest scandals in the Football Association of Ireland. And of course we'll talk about Ireland's result last night at the Aviva, where we'll be joined by Alan Cawley, our first guest of the night. But how's your week been, John?
Very good, Kieran. Obviously, yeah, I didn't see too much of the Ireland matches, but...
Wait, what were you doing?
Well, I was watching another international team, to be honest, Kieran.
Right.
Yeah.
Not going to give any more info on that, no?
Better not.
Okay.
Better not. That young West Ham midfielder made a decent performance. You're going to kill me in a minute.
Matt Noble, wasn't
it? No, not Matt Noble. Anyway, I think we'd better move on from this before there is murder. But I have to say, Ireland, 6 points from two games. Fair enough.
Yeah, we'll talk about that now. Just before we start, obviously I've mentioned Alan Cawley as our opening guest of the night, but we'll also hear tonight from the Limerick FC manager, Tommy Barrett. He's been dying to get on for a few weeks now, John, so we've given him his wish.
Big fans of ours.
Yeah. And finally, we'll have James Talbot, the new Bohemians goalie, who's had a great start to life in the League of Ireland. But yeah, let's kick off and talk about the game in the Aviva last night. I was there myself.
Okay.
I have to say, I've been saying it all day on social media, I think the reaction has been a bit over the top to the performance last night. I thought it was an okay to a good performance. Obviously, the result was great.
Do you know what I think the issue is? I think you're just used to years of being in the doldrums with the performances with Martin O'Neill.
Yeah, I made that point today. I think people are getting so excited about last night because the bar was set so low in recent years. I know someone made the point, and they were probably correct in saying that it was the best performance from Ireland since Austria away in 2016. It's 3 years ago now. So that's a long time to go without seeing any type of good football. So when you do string a couple of passes together, you're going to get a positive reaction. I'm not saying it was a poor performance by any stretch of the means, but there's still a lot of improvement to go. I wouldn't be getting overly excited about two goals against Georgia and Gibraltar.
It looks quite solid at the back, though.
Yeah,
I mean, you've two clean sheets and you've a back four there that looks pretty solid. Yeah, you know how much I like Shane Duffy.
Yeah, and Duffy was brilliant last night. The two fullbacks, Coleman and Stevens in particular, was superb.
Stevens I've seen a few times this season, and I've found him very good. He's been in a good team as well.
Yeah, I've always been a huge fan of Richie Keogh as well. Warrior puts his body on the line. And I mean, you haven't even taken into account there the fact that, God forbid, if something did happen to Seamus Coleman, you've got Matty Doherty to come in there. So, good options at the back for Ireland to choose from. Good, solid goalkeeper. Hendrick had a good game in midfield last night. Glenn Whelan had a very good game. Wouldn't be a Whelan fan by any stretch of the means, but put in a good shift last night. I thought McLean didn't offer an awful lot, and I know a lot of Ireland fans are starting to question him more and more.
Do you think he just gets into the team based on his passion and things like that?
Yeah. Well, that, and probably there's not a huge amount of options to choose from.
Left side of midfield, let's face it, they're a rarity anyway, Kieran. Yeah. So you've got to look at it.
I love James McLean. I love his passion, you know, true, proper.
That's exactly what I said. You know, why he's getting...
Technically... You know, I don't think he's the best, but
yeah.
Look, sometimes you need that bit of grit in the team, but then there's always the worry that he could just lunge in here and there and maybe pick up silly cards, a red card. But I thought he wasn't great. But McGoldrick ran his socks off. But again, he got a standing ovation from every single person in the ground last night. I was kind of taken back. I was like, wow, you thought he was after scoring a hat trick. Now, I'm not criticizing his performance by any means, but I just think it goes back to the whole thing of, the bar has been set so low that we're probably getting a bit too excited by ourselves early on here.
McGoldrick's been a decent striker through the years, but he's obviously a favourite of Mick McCarthy's. You know, yeah. I think it was inevitable when McCarthy came back into the Ireland setup that he was going to be brought back in and probably, you know, first or second choice striker. It was interesting he dropped Maguire after the Gibraltar match. So he's obviously prepared to make changes very, very quickly if he doesn't like what he's
saying. I think the shape of the team is quite good, so that's a positive. I do like McGoldrick. I think technically he's very, very good, but I don't see him as an out-and-out striker. I see him as more of a link man. He brings players into the game very well, but he doesn't have the pace to get in behind. So that's where I think, you know, you're probably looking at him and Maguire, but then again, do you drop someone like a Hendrick to drop McGoldrick deeper. You probably don't. So
it might be something I've just felt, but I think he scores goals against in big matches, McGoldrick. I think he's a big match player. So,
we'll see how that goes as it develops. Yeah. But yeah, as you said, John, it's a good start, 6 points from six. And if they can get a point away from home against Denmark and then pick up a couple of wins against the two big teams in the group, Denmark and Switzerland at home, I'm sure that's going to be the aim.
As an Englishman, Kieran, what was the feeling like at the Viva Stadium? What was the atmosphere like, bearing in mind all the recent upset with the FAI and Delaney? There was some protest there.
Yeah, the atmosphere was actually superb. I have to say, the atmosphere can be quite dead in the even. Now, I'm a bit of a posh git. I like my season ticket up in the very top tier because I like the full view of the pitch.
The heated seats, the prawn sandwiches.
No, I'm not in the premium. I'm not that rich now. But no. I do like the full view of the pitch as opposed to, obviously, the atmosphere is behind the goals, but the view is awful in the Aviva there. So, but the atmosphere was brilliant. So... the protest, the big debate after the game was the comments of Damien Duff.
Okay.
Seemed to be very anti-protest, seemed to suggest that it nearly cost the team the game, which was a stupid suggestion.
Right, Kieran, well, if the fans don't protest, where do they protest? You know, they have to, you know, and to be honest, what's going on with the FAI, I mean, I've said it before, I think it's despicable.
Yeah.
And just outrageous numbers and sums of money involved when you think
public money.
Yeah, public money. When you think of where the country is at the moment, I just think it's outrageous. And, you know, the fans have every right to be angry.
Even the ticket prices last night, I think, I have a season ticket, as I said, but I think it was 35 to 45 euro for a single match ticket. Mm. There was quite a few empty seats, especially around the premium areas last night. So, I mean, they could easily sell that ground out each and every game if the tickets were priced more reasonably. And I know they tried to weigh it in a way that the season tickets are good value in around 100 to 140 euro. I encourage people to buy them instead. But, I mean, the team need a full stadium. They don't care what way people are buying their tickets once they're buying them and coming out and supporting the team. And the people that paid that price last night had every right to protest. I think Ireland fans, I've said it here before, have been far too slow to protest. League of Ireland fans have been calling out for years and years and years about this type of behaviour from John Delaney and the FAI. But it took a few Ireland fans not to get tickets for a game in Scotland for them eventually to wake up. And it's kind of steamrolled from there, really. And since we recorded our last show last week, obviously we've had the whole controversy of him resigning from CEO position and taking up vice executive position.
There seems to be more coming out every day. I don't think we've heard the end of it, Kieran.
No. Let's get our first guest of the night on. We're going to talk about the situation at the FAI. We'll speak a little bit more about Ireland and obviously the league itself, because it's been a great start to the league. We've had a little international break in the Premier last week, but we're going to get back into the full swing now. So Alan Cawley joins us to discuss all things Ireland and League of Ireland. So I'm delighted to say our good friend Alan Cawley joins us once again this season on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Alan, you're welcome back to the show.
Evening, lads. How about we?
So Alan, before we start, I see you had your wee lad up at the Aviva for his first game yesterday. How did you enjoy that?
Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant, Kieran. I had a rare night off, so I said I'd take him to the game. And it was his first as well, so it was the fact that it was a lovely evening. I said, yeah, it'd be a good opportunity to bring him, and he's six now, so he's the right age to kind of get him started, and he's obviously playing a bit of ball, so we had a great night, and obviously the result as well helped, so he was in great form. We decked him out in hat and scarf and the whole lot, so it was a good night overall.
Good stuff, that's what it's all about. But on the game itself, Alan, what was the thoughts on the performance?
I was actually really heartened by the performance, to be honest with you, Kieran, because obviously we've seen what's gone on in recent times under O'Neill and Roy Keane, and people were disillusioned and kind of totally disconnected from the soccer team, obviously, in the country. But I felt last night Mick has obviously brought a feel-good factor back to the group and back to the squad. And just the fact he seems to be giving them belief and encouragement, obviously that transpired onto the pitch. And I thought they played with a freedom and they went out and expressed themselves and just gave them a good account of themselves in terms of what I would call an Irish performance that, look, we're never going to dominate possession and pass teams to death. But the one thing we always ask from our players is the fact that they'll go out, give it a go. And I felt playing the front foot, and I felt they did that last night. The fact that he had players playing in their preferred positions, obviously, Jeff Hendrick, I felt, done well over the course of the two games. When you consider Martin O'Neill had him playing as the deep lying midfielder and left side of a tree and all sorts of all over the place, I felt that's his best position, and there was a good balance to the team with himself and Orhan allowed to obviously get on and try and get themselves into the box with that protection with Ken Whelan. So, yeah, I was really heartened by the performance. Obviously, there's a lot bigger test to come, but Georgia are not bad, and we obviously seen that in the last game as well when they passed us off the park. So, overall, it was a good start to the campaign in terms of the two games, and we obviously wanted 6 points. We've got them. I felt as though we got a performance as well last night. So there's plenty of reasons to be optimistic. And I think Mick, to be fair to him, in his interviews afterwards as well, the fact that he was speaking the players up, that's nice to hear as well, considering the previous manager, he did nothing but talk them down.
Yeah, I think it was a bit unfair, some of the criticism. I mean, after the Gibraltar match, because it was only his first game in charge, and, you know, what matters is the 3 points at the end of the day, and then getting the performance in the Georgia match was great. I don't think you can ask for 6 points out of six. It's a great start.
Definitely, John. Yeah, I felt it was almost no point in commenting on the game because it was just farcical, I felt, on Saturday. The Astro pitch, the wind, the ground being so exposed next to an airport. And people might argue, look, non-football fans or non-football people might argue, look, you can't use that as an excuse, and it was the same for both teams. But all training conditions were, there's nothing worse than being exposed. And you're on a hiding to nothing, really, against Gibraltar, because if you rock up and win 5 or 6 nil, everybody's expecting you to do that. And even if you only scrape by with a 1-0, people are criticising anyway. So you can't win. I felt it was just all important with getting the result and just get in and get out of there. And then last night, obviously, we had to concentrate on that. Had things been gone a bit pear-shaped last night, then maybe there would have been reason for criticism. But I always felt coming into the Georgia game that we'd see a far better performance and the players would give a far better account to themselves. And that's exactly what we saw last night. I felt from the first kick of the game, they were up and at them, they were in taking the game to Georgia. They never let Georgia get a stranglehold of the game, which I felt did previously in the game against Ireland the last time when they dominated possession. That's because we just sat off them and allowed them play. Whereas last night, I felt the boys were really good. Some really good performances, as I said, and a good positive start, 6 points on the board.
Were you a little disappointed not to see Jack Byrne get his debut?
Yeah, not so much last night, but certainly on Saturday, I actually felt he was in with a great show to get some game time, because I watched him the last two games for Shamrock Rovers, and against St. Pat's, I felt he was very, very good in what was a chaotic game, but he was the only one that you could see was head and shoulders above the rest in terms of his composure and his technical ability. And then against Sligo Rovers, he gave one of the best performances that I've seen from a player in our league in a long, long time. I was absolutely blown away by him that night. He was terrific. And the fact that he got called up, it wasn't much of a surprise because Mick was obviously at that game. And I think he belongs in that company. I'd say it won't be long before he'll be going back across the water if he keeps playing the way he's going. And it's no harm for his career that he's back here, because I think it's a good grounding for him at the moment with Shamrock Rovers. He seems to be maturing as a lad as well. I felt as though a lot came his way maybe far too soon and too much hype too young. And looking at him the last few weeks, he's bedded in nicely with Shamrock Rovers. That'll give him even more confidence if he needs that, being called up to the senior team. And I felt he maybe could have got maybe 20 minutes, a half an hour against Gibraltar, but I wasn't overly disappointed that he didn't play last night, no.
Alan, final point on Ireland, because we have a host of League of Ireland questions we want to get through with yourself before you go tonight. Thoughts on the protest last night? Was it disruptive? Were the fans entitled to do it? A lot of debate, obviously, afterwards with Richie Sadler and Damien Duff going loggerheads in the studio over their views on it. What was your take on the whole situation?
I'd be very much on the side of Richie, to be honest with you, Ciarán. The fans are fully entitled to protest. There's obviously the whole game and the whole weekend has been overshadowed by the controversies going off the pitch with the hierarchy. And the fans are fully entitled to it. They feel aggrieved, they feel hard done by. Obviously the money and the salary that we're talking about in terms of the chief executive. And all we want, obviously, as League of Ireland people, is to see some money invested in the league. And an appetite, not just money just thrown at it, an appetite to see change and to see progression in the league and see development. And I have to say, I think that's been neglected over the last 10, 15 years. I made the comments on Sunday on the news that I felt I think we're 20, 25 years behind where we should be in terms of the development of the league here. Yeah. You look at other nations that are of a similar size to us, they're way, way far ahead. You look at the Scandinavian countries in terms of their infrastructure and facilities that they have around their league as well. And as I say, they're miles ahead of where we should be. And I feel as though we are 20 years behind. The controversies don't help. And why can't the fans protest? There's no better place to protest than at the match. They've been shut down many a time, and banners being not allowed put up and taken off them. We've heard all those stories. And in my opinion, they were fully justified to do whatever they wanted to do last night. And I felt it kind of made some noises and it made an impact as well. I don't know who came up with the idea that tennis balls, it wouldn't have been my idea, but this stuff did make an impact, and there was plenty of singing towards the disharmony, obviously, that people are feeling amongst the hierarchy, and rightly so, because there's stuff that's gone on now far too long, in my opinion, and change is needed at the very, very top.
Yeah, and interestingly, just before we started the show here, the FAI released a press statement claiming the League of Ireland attendances are up 11% so far this season, so interesting timing with that one. But on the league itself, Alan, do you see it as a two-horse race this season between Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers?
Just on that last one, though, Kieran, I wouldn't say for them to be releasing that statement, and I hope they're not taking credit for it, because I wouldn't be taking it that the attendances are up due to any great thing that they've been doing.
Yeah.
It's largely down to a lot of the social media and the work the clubs have been doing themselves. And there's been a really positive feel and a really positive start to the league in terms of the attendances. And that's largely down to what I feel is the clubs doing absolutely brilliant work on their social media and trying to promote it as best they can, because there's very little promotion coming from Abbottstown.
And on the title race, Alan, two-horse race?
Looking at it so far, yeah, I always felt it would be Dundalk at the start, and I felt that Shamrock Rovers had a great opportunity to make some inroads and to really put it up to them this year. And so far, that's the way it's transpired. They've had a really good start, Shamrock Rovers. And Dundalk, despite a stuttery start, really, with the draws, they're beginning to hit their stride as well. And I think, to be fair to Vinnie Pert, he's handled things quite well, because the first night that we covered the game with Sligo Rovers, and obviously Benson getting injured and McElhenney getting injured, that could have kind of things could have unravelled there fairly quickly, but I think he's got them back on track fairly quickly. I probably will be. They're the two best teams that I've seen so far, and it'll be between one of them, I'd say. Yeah, definitely, Kieran.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring up the Dundalk management team there, because I think it's fair to say, John, you haven't maybe been convinced by the setup there. And obviously, Alan, last time we had you on, it was a totally different situation with Stephen Kenny well and truly at the helm there. So what have you made of the decision to put in a kind of a three-man management team there? Obviously, I think from an outside point of view, there's obviously one man in charge, but it's something different in the league for sure.
Yeah, well, I think we all know Vinny's the manager and Vinny's calling the shots. And even though there's a three-man management team, I think Rory Higgins is doing a lot of the work, and obviously John is probably chipping in with a bit of training and whatever John is doing too. So I think between them, obviously Vinny would have outlined exactly what he wanted from the start, and I'm sure John was happy to agree with that and go along with it. And as I say, despite the stuttery start and people might have been getting a bit kind of nervy, especially up there, I think Vinny's handled it quite well, because he's just kept his head down and stuck at it. And obviously the signings that he's brought in has probably helped with the injuries, and particularly Sean Murray, who's got off to a great start to his Dundalk career. And despite the fact that Benson getting injured, and obviously McElhenney, and then we've seen Shields getting injured also, and he missed the Waterford game, they went out and gave a great performance against Waterford. So I think Vinny's done quite well. They're unbeaten, they've played six matches, 1-3, drew 3, and I think they're right back on track here on.
I think one thing's for sure, Alan, I think we're going to have a title race this season. I think it's going to be pretty close, the way Rovers are playing, the way Dundalk are playing. I think it's going to keep the attention for the season.
Absolutely, John. Yeah, we definitely have a race this year, and I think we all want to see a race. And I think it's good for the league, the Shamrock Rovers, because Stephen Bradley is there 2.5 years now, and people may credit the club for sticking by him, but there was a period there last year where he was on very, very thin ice. So I think it's very, very important for him, not only to kind of put in some sort of a challenge, but he have to sustain that. And I wouldn't say they necessarily have to win the league, but he certainly has to challenge Dundalk all the way this year, or Cork. And they've made a brilliant start. The only question mark I would have over them is that 20 goal a season, man. And I know Stephen Bradley came out with comments saying that he feels there's enough in the team to be maybe chipping in with goals, that he felt last year the problems was their inconsistency. And he may have a point, but I'm looking at the games the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I just feel with Aaron Green, I don't think he's going to get you the 20 goals. And to be fair to him, he's played very well in those games, and he occupies defenders, he's running around, he puts in a serious shift, he starts to press him from the front, and he's done very well in the games. But he had two great chances, one against St. Pat's, he missed the sitter, and one against Sligo Rovers last week. And I just felt he needed to take one of those to give himself confidence. Whether he's going to get you those 20 goals, I'm not so sure, whereas I always feel with Pat Hoban, he'll get you the goals that you need. So that might be one area that they might fall short on, but certainly they've had a great start. They've obviously so many midfield options. On top of Byrne, who I've been mad about so far, I think Aaron McInniff has made a great start to Shamrock Rovers' career as well. Very good player, adds so much energy to the team as well. So We'll definitely have a race this year, John, definitely.
And talking about a race, well, what about the First Division, Alan? It's been, you just can't predict the results at the moment. It's been fantastic so far.
It's been unbelievable, the results. Last week I was looking at that, you're thinking Cove, obviously against Shelburne, you'd fancy Shelburne down there, and Cove put in a brilliant performance and result for Stephen Henderson. Then you're looking at Gary Cronin and Bray going to Wexford, and Wexford obviously haven't had a very slow start, a poor start really, and then they beat Bray. So the results are unbelievable, yeah, in the First Division, and obviously it's been very competitive, which I think has been a good thing in recent years, but this year it's just so hard to call, and I'm sure Shelburne will be very anxious about the start that they've had, because considering the money and investment that's gone into that team and squad, no disrespect to Cove, but they should be rolling over teams like that if they're going to win the league, and I don't think it's going to be the cakewalk that many people figured at the start.
Alan, superb stuff as always. Thanks very much for joining us. Glad you enjoyed your trip to the Aviva yesterday with the young man, and I'm sure it's the first of many more.
Pleasure, lads. Now that you're TV celebs yourselves, thanks a million.
Top man, Alan. Thanks very much.
Cheers, lads.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
Have to say, I enjoyed that, John. Always great to get Alan on the show.
Yeah, he's a great pundit. I like him, and he's always good to talk to.
I have to say, I actually missed the good pundits off Soccer Republic, like Alan and a few of the other lads we've had on the show here. Fabio as well. I enjoyed his commentaries during the year.
So. Yeah, you would miss that. And it's, I know at the start of the season we sort of enjoyed Soccer Republic, but that obviously with the lack of matches the last. Monday's edition wasn't great.
I thought it was awful.
I think you do miss a bit of chats around it. And look, hopefully we'll get some more live matches on soon, and there'll be a bit more.
Yeah, well, there's a good stream of live matches coming up now over the next month. And obviously, we've got Between the Stripes match day live games to cover. So Bohemians against St. Pat's, I can announce that game will be covered this Friday night from Dalymount Park. Myself and James Donnelly, the media manager at Longford Town.
That's going to be a cracker.
Yeah,
cracking atmosphere. I'm very jealous.
I mean, with
that
game being sold out, we're very, very lucky to have the privilege to go and cover that game. And hopefully the atmosphere will come across like it did. We had so many comments from the El Clasico game we covered about how the atmosphere came across on the commentary, so that's what we want. And we had people from New York, the UK, Brussels, Gibraltar. It was fantastic, so
great.
That's what we're here to do. But look, let's look back at the action. As you said, it was reduced action last week in the League of Ireland because of the international break. One game in the Premier, Finn Harps, they made it awkward for Rovers, as many expected, but Rovers came out with a late goal from Greg Bulger, 1-0.
Well, this was a massive game for Rovers so early in the season, and the chance to go 7 points clear if they could win at Finn Park, which is a big lead, as I said the other week. McAleer, he had the first chance with a curling effort.
Yeah, kicking error from the goalie, McManister, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. And, you know, he's a decent shot on him, McAleer. And, you know, some of those curling efforts, you've seen them going in the past.
Windy night, I don't think it helped him either. It might have been easier just to dink the goalie on a normal night, but he seemed to try and put a lot of whip on it to beat the wind, and he's put too much on it, it's gone out.
That's it. But, you see, Rovers' strength for me this season is their midfield. And if it's not Finn that's playing well, it'll be one of their other midfielders, Jack Byrne, but it was Watts who played well, really, for me this match, and he was the difference. First half, he forced a good save from the keeper, and he also had another shot, which could maybe have done better with, but he shot over. That was before half-time. Green scored in the second half, but that was adjudged offside. And then the winner came from Greg Bulger, that ball landed nicely for him, and a nice driven shot from the edge of the box to give Rovers the 1-0 and the 3 points.
Well, I said it last week. Greg Bulger was on the League of Ireland Weekly last week, and he made some very interesting comments about last season. I think we all know he was really, really off the pace at Rovers, and what he's changed this season to have such a good start, because for me, he's actually been Rovers' best player in midfield.
Okay, there's a plethora of great players.
When I watched him against Dundalk, you know, I wasn't overly impressed with them that night. But Bulger, he's the defensive midfielder, and he was actually one of their more attacking players on the night. He was getting round the pitch, making his tackles, but he was getting the ball forward with pace, playing some lovely spread passes, doing the neat stuff as well. So I was really impressed with him, and I noticed that night he looked a lot more nimble and able to get round the pitch. And what he said on League of Ireland Weekly last week was, he actually feels that in the last couple of years he's been doing too much gym work, and he feels like he's been too bulked up.
Yeah.
No means overweight, but just in terms of muscle, he feels he's been too heavy to get around the pitch. So he's reduced that, and he feels a lot more agile. So I think we're going to see a lot more from Greg Bulger this season. I think he's had a great start to the year.
And I know Alan Colley was talking there earlier about the 20 goal a season striker, but you know, the midfielders are getting a lot of goals for Rovers.
There's your defensive midfielder pitching in.
Exactly. So, you know, the good thing is that even without that striker, they're still getting the goals and they're getting the points on board. And 7 points clear. I know it's early days, but that's a great position to be in.
Just to clear up for our listeners, two games in hand as well for Dundalk.
Well, Dundalk have two games in hand, yeah.
So that could become a 1 point lead. But as you said, it's much, much better to have that cushion than to not have it.
Yeah, and they'll be delighted we're getting 3 points at Finn Park, because we know it's not an easy place to go.
And they've brought it in as well. The touchlines have come in narrower in the last couple of weeks.
So they're making it as hard as possible for these creative teams to go there and get the points. But fair play to Rovers. Left it late, but 3 points.
We'd better just touch on Harps. Typical defensive performance from Ollie Horgan's men. Ollie was suspended himself from the touchline, but you could certainly hear him coming across from the gantry as always.
Yep.
I suppose disappointed to concede so late on, but can they take heart from this performance?
Well, I think so, but I think Ollie will be disappointed to last so long, you know, and not at least pick up a point from the match. Yeah, he'd be disappointed, but that isn't the big games for Harps, you know. The big games are the matches against the UCDs and the Sligos, and you know, anything there would have been a bonus.
Yeah, good point, John. That was it for the Premier, but let's move to the First Division, because that's where the madness was this week. We'll start with the shock.
Right.
Well, maybe it wasn't the shock because Wexford got their win in Bray, but this one took everyone by surprise. Cove 2, Shells 1.
Before we start, Kieran, you gave me an interesting fact. If you predicted the five results from the weekend, what odds were you telling me?
I was listening to Greatest League in the World, so I listened to them all, John.
Yeah.
According to one of the guests on there, maybe it was Conan himself that said it, but €5 would have returned you, I think, 12,000 for the results in the First Division alone this weekend.
Wow.
I mean, Wexford at home to Bray, 16-1 Wexford in a two-horse race.
I don't think we got any right, did we?
I don't think so, no.
No.
Maybe the Longford one. Might have just called that one, but
Yes, we did actually. Yeah, we got that one. But that was about it. So,
do you know what actually separated us this week in the St. Mel's Bruin game? We were tied all the way across, because as you said, I think we might have only got one fixture right each.
Yeah.
But you said Harps would score against Rovers. I called a clean sheet for Rovers. Now, I did call a 2-0 win, but I'm closer, so I'm taking the points this week. So it's 4-3 to me.
You're just shit. You're as bad as the FAI, Kieran. I'm telling you, find every possible reason to sneak a point against me.
Vice executive, president of predictions.
Yeah, disgraceful. Right, come on, let's move on.
Yeah, Cove 2, Shells 1. Unbelievable result.
Well, nobody saw this coming, did they? I know Shells haven't had the greatest of starts, but you know, with the team they have, you'd expect them to go to Cove and do well. But anything but here. And man, that's making a lot of headlines is this Kabir lad, Jazza Kabir.
Yeah, when Hendo was on here last year, he definitely highlighted him.
Five goals so far this season.
Yeah, I think he was just coming into a bit of form last season when we asked Hendo about him on one of the shows. Hendo said he'd got an injury then and his season kind of petered out. But obviously everyone would be well aware of his father, who had a great career. So he comes from good pedigree, as they say. He looks a player.
And Fernandez with a second, we've seen him before, he's impressed before.
Yeah, another player that Hendo has really spoken up. So some good young players coming through at Cove. I suppose that's what that club is about. They don't have the resources of a Shells. It's all about getting young players from in or around that Munster region, developing them, giving them a stage to then go and maybe attract the attention of someone like a Cork City that's nearby. And look, it's worked this time round. They've gone and beaten the money club of the First Division.
Kilduff with a penalty and Morehouse with red card at the end, second yellow.
That could be a costly red card. He missed the huge game this weekend against Longford.
Yeah, that's true.
John, on Shelburne, we've given Cove their dues there. Absolutely unbelievable result for them. And let's hope they can get a nice run at home going and the attendances can start to pick up there. But Shells, this isn't the start that people expected. They suffered defeat to Cabinteely only a couple of weeks ago. I mean, with the investments that's there, if these sort of results are to pop up on a more frequent basis than we expected, could we see their new manager under pressure? Because the money that's been invested there, John, they're not here to play around. This isn't a season or two-season project. They expect results, and they expect them now.
Well, and I think it almost heaps more pressure on with it being a rookie manager in his first season as management. And his expectations this season, the board will have said to him, it's promotion or bust.
Mm.
So the pressure must be huge on him. And
I don't want to go too deep into it because they could easily go and win their next 10 or 11 games. Were you surprised with the choice of Ian Morris? Because, as you said, he's a rookie manager. This is a club that is investing massively. So, as you said, it's win or it's nothing. You have to come in here and you have to get us the title. That is your remit. And maybe even a cup run as well. So were you surprised they didn't go for someone that's more experienced in that situation?
At the time when they appointed Morris, I wasn't surprised. But then when I saw what he had to spend, I thought, wow, okay, that's a, you know, he's brought a lot of good players in here. So, you know, I just think it heaps a lot of pressure on him.
Look, I'm looking forward to previewing the game against Longford later in the show because it really is a big test for Shelton now. They have to bounce back with all the pressure and the attention that's on them this season. Let's go to our next fixture. As I mentioned, what a result for Wexford FC. 2-0 against Bray. John, you're looking at me.
I'm smiling because what were the words last week? Will Wexford win a match this season, Kieran?
Well, I put the question out there and over 50% of people said that they wouldn't. So I wasn't the only fool out there.
Kieran, you've written them off after four or five matches. Oh, this is so like you, I'm afraid, Kieran. You know, if somebody's had a bad start, that's it. Rubbish. Bottom of the table. They're never going to score a goal.
Sack the manager.
Yeah, terrible. But let's face it, nobody could have seen this coming.
No, incredible. My words last week when we were talking about this, Bray obviously had lost to Athlone the week before, and I said in the preview that if Wexford could go and get any sort of result against Bray, it would be 10 times amplifying what happened against Athlone for Bray. So, a result.
Yeah, so Nugent and Jack Doherty were the goals for Wexford. Unbelievable, really. But, you know, we talked about Turner there at Shells, but you know, for Gary Cronin, that's a terrible result.
Mm.
And again, there is money spent there. There is expectations. You know, he's had a bit of a experience with Longford there as management. But again, it's tough times for them.
Yeah, and with the crowd been so positive at Bray in recent weeks, I'm sure the people involved there want to see a good winning run to keep that going, because that's something they've really struggled with in recent years, is getting interest in the club and getting people in the gate. Now that they're doing that, they can't afford results like this, because this was a massive slip up for Bray.
And they had such a great start as well. Yeah. Didn't they win the first three or so?
A chance to go top here. This was a huge game for Bray, and they've let themselves down.
Yeah, very, very disappointing. And I still can't quite get my head around that scoreline, to be honest, Kieran.
Do you want to move along to the next one?
Yeah, and turned up at Athlone. And do you like to see Soccer Republic's cameras there?
For what they put together, they mightn't well as bother. I thought it was fairly poor.
Yeah, well, I suppose they had to cover something with only one match.
Fake live commentary.
If you want real live commentary, I think people know where to go
at this stage.
But look, any coverage is some coverage at least, Kieran, and it's something.
It was a talking gesture, John. We spoke about the possibility last week of First Division highlights this week, but there have been no Premier games on bar one. And when they put it up on Twitter that they had coverage from First Division games this weekend, here was me all excited, ready to sit down, long for that loan. Now we're going to Shelburne Women against one of the other national women's sides.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit bizarre, to be honest.
That was it then. It was all about Ireland, you know?
Yeah. Look, let's talk about the game itself. It was a pretty scrappy affair, Kieran.
Typical derby game.
Yeah, it was. And 0-0 at half-time, I thought was right on the night. I thought the defences were on top. Second half, Longford just had a good spell where they got the goal. I think the 10 minutes, 15 minutes before it, they were on top.
I think Longford upped their percentage 2 or 3% in the second half, and Athlone, their percentage went the other way. They went down a shade where they'd been very good in the first half. Now, Athlone finished very, very strong, pushed everything for an equaliser, and only for Conor Kenna, who was immense on the night. He was the man of the match by far. He's been an absolutely unbelievable signing for Longford so far this season. He made an amazing tackle inside the box in the last couple of seconds of the game, and that was enough to get Longford victory. And another clean sheet for Longford.
Very impressed with both teams' defences, Kieran.
Kieran Grogan at the back and Keeney
for
Athlone were very impressive. Big lads. I thought Darren Meenan played very well. He was on the edge at times.
Yeah, he was getting a bit of grief from the Longford supporters as well, I think that maybe
played into. There was a couple of tackles where I was, oh my god.
And
Williams, I thought that was a strange decision from Terry Butler to take Dean Williams off. I thought he was Athlone's main threat throughout. Aaron really impressed as well on the night for Athlone.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking who else, what other options they had, because they had
Kaleem Simon.
He seemed very lightweight.
Yeah.
Front and the Longford defence dealt with him quite well, I thought. But I thought both defences were good. I thought the difference for me was Elworthy's runs from right back position. He's turning into one of the best right backs in the league.
We are the Shane Elworthy fan club here. We just think he is the all round fullback.
Yeah, he's a super player, and I'm amazed he was dropped earlier in the season. Mm. But he's come back, and his defensive ability is great. But his ability to bomb on and put a decent cross in,
we've seen Neil Fenn try and play him in a midfield role, wide right, a little bit like Matt Doherty with Ireland. It didn't work. He's put him back in his natural position now of full back, and he's been immense. An assist against Drogheda in the 3-0 win, and a similar assist here. He's just great at that little dink ball from wide. So
yeah, look, overall, I think Longford edged it, Kieran. It you could have maybe argued a 0-0, but I think that was fair enough result on the night.
Just a final 2 points in that fixture. For a big game like this, they decided to bring down a big name referee, Neil Doyle. Performance absolutely pathetic. Mm-hmm. And not even in terms of, for both teams, he was awful. Longford should have had a penalty in the first half, but there was so many tackles he missed. There was one right in front of me in the commentary box where Aidan Irvin goes in late, and he clips the Athlone player very, very late.
Very poor foul, yeah.
A foot in front of the linesman. The linesman's looking straight at it. You could even hear the studs connect them.
Yeah.
And wasn't given. There was a couple, as we said, some very, very strong tackles that probably should have been pulled up. But the officiating was very, very poor on the night.
Final point of the fixture.
Over 700. I actually thought there was more, but that's always the way with League of Ireland attendances. But it wasn't just the attendance, it was the atmosphere from both sides.
Great atmosphere. The fun factor seems to be back at Athlone. I have to say, the catering was excellent, Kieran, as a fan. Plenty of hot food available. And really, really enjoyed my trip there.
Good stuff. So let's move along to our next fixture. Cabinteely, they were defeated at home by Limerick. Somewhat of a surprise result.
Well, Cabinteely were going top if they won this one. And again, something else you wouldn't have predicted at the start of the season.
Pat Devlin was absolutely fuming with his side after this game. He did an interview with Andrew Dempsey for Between the Stripes TV. Make sure you check it out on our YouTube channel. He was furious with the individual mistakes.
Yeah, so Sean Russell and Shane Tracy. So experienced heads getting the goals for Limerick. Conor Keighley were the one for Cabo, but you'd be right, this was an opportunity missed.
Mm. And again, the question of the pitch was raised by both managers. Pat Devlin said himself, it's simply not good enough and it's affecting his side. So this was a hugely disappointing result for Cabinteely. But Limerick, there was talk of a crisis early on in the season, John. Here they are now, 1 point off top spot.
Well, it's bizarre, is that league, because
it's going to take a while to settle, isn't it?
The top eight, there's 3 points between them. You know, there's nothing between anybody in that league, so
it's a bit like a Formula One race. It's a bit bunched to start the first couple of laps. We're just waiting to see who's
the wheels will come off a few.
Very good. Galway, disappointing result for them, John. 1-0, they went down at home to Drogheda.
That's really disappointing for me because we've seen Drogheda this season, and I have to say I've not been impressed with them.
Not one bit, no.
But I think this, you know, Galway, the setup for me, the Project DNA. To me, it just sounds like cost saving, and you know, yes, you can have the local talent playing for you, but you have to have a few experienced players in there.
Well, they do have them in Vinnie Faherty and Davern.
Yeah, it was two. Yeah, you know, it's two players, and you know, are they still at the top of the game?
Faherty started the season on fire.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just think it. I think they're going to struggle
this
season.
It's hard for a club like Galway, though, especially in the division this season. I mean, other years they might have got away with, and we're not criticising them for cutting their cloth. It's obviously something they have to do to keep afloat. And fair play to them for not just throwing money at it and hoping, well, you know, we might get in the playoffs, that might keep us going.
But it's a well-supported club with good attendances.
Well, it hasn't always been.
No.
And like every other club, their fans can be very fickle. Mm. And with results like this, you will see a drop-off in attendances. Now, they've been very, very good to start the season. We hope that keeps up, but that's what they have to work with. So what can you do, really?
They should be winning matches like this, Kieran. Mm. If they've any thoughts of playoffs...
Well, they don't, if you speak to their fans, they don't.
They don't.
They don't. From the very start of the season, they said this team will not be anywhere near the playoffs. And they had a good encouraging start to the season.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe then they started to perk up a little bit. But, you know, this sort of result does really put a bit of perspective on it.
But look, I think we've seen already in this division, there's all sorts of freak results out there. It's going to take a while to settle down, and like I say, it's five games, and I know you might have written one or two teams off, but
I just think of Galway, there might be an over reliance on Fatterdy, and as we said on our League of Ireland review show on Between Strikes TV the other night, maybe they're going to try and get too much out of them this season, too many 90 minutes.
Possibly, yeah. I think they're, it may settle down, Kieran. Like we say, it's still early days, and I think they're going to have to, they've Cabo away at the weekend, so Cabo struggling a little bit at home. You know, those are the kind of matches they're going to be trying to get at least a point.
Tough place for a young team to go, though. Just from a draw at a point of view, they've got a win now, got them finally up and going after a dreadful start.
Yeah.
Can you see them kicking on from here?
Not too sure. I mean, I'm only taking it from what I've seen of them this season, Kieran, and I have to say I wasn't overly impressed. But look, it's early days, and as we've seen, anything can happen in this division, Kieran.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to write anybody off. Or say anybody's going to win this, because at the moment it's just too hard to predict.
Yeah, leave that to me writing teams off.
Yeah.
Let's move along to our St. Mel's Brewing prediction game. StMelsBrewing.com are sponsored of Between the Stripes LOI podcast this season, along with Flowmax.ie and Diageo.ie. So please support our sponsors as they keep this show alive. Before we go on to our predictions, just to mention, still interviews to come with James Talbot of Bohemians and Tommy Barrett, the Limerick FC manager. First game up for prediction, John, Dundalk against Cork.
Well, this has been the key game from
live on RT as well, just to mention.
Yeah, so that's great. So those without tickets will be able to go and watch it. So, but I think Cork have something to prove here. I think they do, because a lot of people have written them off a little bit this season. They're saying they're going to be also Rans. What a chance to make a statement in front of the TV cameras, to go to Dundalk and.
They've started to just get a little bit of momentum going in the last few weeks, but I suppose what the critics will say to that is, has it been against the better teams in this division? And will a team like Dundalk just be too strong for Cork this season?
I think Dundalk have their injury worries as well, haven't they, still? Is there any chance of any of these midfielders coming back? Do we know?
Well, they've managed fine without them the last couple of weeks.
Well,
everyone's waxing lyrical about Sean Murray at the moment. So
he's been a super signing, Kieran. Yeah, I think we talked him really up last week, didn't we, after his performance.
And Hoban is still there, still firing. So
yeah.
I mean, the main assets are still there for Dundalk. So do they have too much for Cork, John?
I think they do, yeah, this season. I still think Cork have weakened, and Dundalk, you know, it's pretty settled. I know I would have a few question marks around the managerial setup and things there, but I think this season, they'll be too good for Cork.
So you think Dundalk on home on Friday?
I do.
Yeah, I think Cork will up their game massively. I mean, this is the game they really don't ever want to lose, and the new players that have come in there, the likes of Darragh Connor, they're going to want to show that they belong on this great stage. So I think this could be a very tight game. I hope
it's a good game, because they're normally dour these matches.
I think it could be one of them real physical games again. But again, they can have a certain entertainment value to them too, when a big strong tackle goes in and it gets everyone rattled off. And, so we'll see what happens, but I do think Dundalk might just sneak it. I think the likes of Murray, the likes of Hoban, I think they could just be the difference in this game. So I'm going to predict a 1-0 win for Dundalk.
Okay. Moving on, Kieran. Derry hosts Sligo. This is an interesting look about it.
Yeah, so I think everyone's been quite impressed with Derry so far this season, and praising the job that Declan Devine has done. Whereas on the other hand, a lot of question marks about Sligo in recent weeks, particularly from yourself, John. You made some comments on the last few shows that maybe Liam Buckley, it's not going exactly to plan from there.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what the situation is at Sligo. I think they may get a bit better as the season progresses, when there's a lot of new signings there, a lot of gelling to do. And, you know, we've talked about it before, you're bringing players in that aren't familiar with the league, which I was surprised about with Buckley, because I thought he'd have enough contacts within the league.
I think that probably speaks to the difficulty of attracting players to Sligo.
And the geographical location.
Yeah.
Derry, on the other hand, it's quite obvious what Declan Devine wants to do there. He wants to make Brandywell. He wants to fortress Brandywell.
He wants to make Derry great again.
Does he? Kieran Trump over there with the commentary. Look, I think Derry will have too much for Sligo. I think they will, Kieran. I'm just not sure about some of the signings for Sligo, and I think Derry will have too much for them.
Yeah, again, it's kind of repeating what we've said about Sligo on the podcast this year. I think they'll go up and they'll be defensively quite solid. It'll be a rigid lineup. I mean, Buckley wants to get his team playing football. Here's the pitch to go and do it. And a player like Twardek might enjoy the sight. It's a huge pitch up in the Brandywell. So
I just think they lack a bit of quality, though, all around. You can talk about Twardek, who's okay, but then you're looking around and thinking...
That's what my next point is going to be. Where does he aim for?
Yeah.
You know, they don't have that big target man. Do they have someone in that midfield with a bit of guile that can just open a team up? I'm not so sure. I think Derry have those type of players that can just pull something out of a hat. I've got to go with Derry in this one.
Yeah, agreed, Kieran. Let's move on.
Shamrock Rovers against UCD. Another big chance for Rovers to get some points on the board and extend that lead at the top.
Well, you can see a situation. Cork go to Dundalk and get anything there.
This is a huge weekend.
Then Rovers could be 9-10 points clear. Yeah. This is huge for them, you know. So, and they've got what you would think would be a fairly straightforward home match against UCD. Although UCD just showing a few signs of improving.
Again, it's a perfect surface in Tala, so UCD will enjoy that. I'm sure they'll look to defend by keeping the ball, because that's the best way for the opposition not to score is when you have it. Interesting selection dilemma for Colly O'Neill. Will he bring the likes of Conor Davis back into the side? We'll wait and see, because UCD's last performance against Harps, Davis was out of the side and they scored 3 goals. So decisions to make there. From a Rovers point of view, who does he start up front with? Does he keep the winning team together? I'd imagine he will.
I think so. I think so. I can't see too much change. Jack Byrne will be back, so
true. Yeah,
he'll be slotting, I would have thought, but they're gonna have way too much for UCD, Kieran. I think I think they'll be the midfield. Will dominate, and you know the players there that can create chances. So even if we're talking about Aaron Green missing a few, there's going to be enough chances for them to bury UCD.
Again, I just think. Almost the resurgence of Greg Bulger this season. I think it could be a huge thing. He's a man that's been there and done it and was pivotal in them St. Pat's sides that won leagues.
He would have been one of the best midfielders in the league, Kieran. Yeah.
When he won that league with Pats, he was phenomenal. He's obviously a few years older now, but I think he's coming back towards that sort of level. I'm not saying he'd reach that peak again at his age and the amount of games he's played now in the league, but I think he's going to be a huge player for Shamrock Rovers this season. And that one question mark that will always come back to Shamrock Rovers is, do they have someone to put the ball in the back of the net? Here's a game where they're expected to win. If they can go and score 3 or 4 goals, that puts that to bed for a couple of weeks again.
Yeah, Green gets a brace. Yeah. Somebody off the bench gets somebody.
So look, I think Rovers win, but it'll be interesting to analyse this game next week and see exactly, breaking it down, where Rovers are strong, where they need to improve, if they have enough to win the league. It's very interesting.
Could be talking about them 10 or 9 points clear, Kieran.
Yeah, let's wait and see. Waterford against Finn Harps at the RSC.
Yeah, so Waterford, bit of a topsy-turvy start to the season. They've certainly not been at the best. They're at home to a Harp side. They're starting to look like they could really do with some points, Kieran.
Long trip for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It doesn't get much longer than this. Well, apart from Derry, but yeah, it is. And unfortunately, where Harps are, there's a lot of long trips for them. And we keep saying that every week. And I think this is why they've struggled in the top league in the past. It's because they're, as a part-time outfit, they end fatigued and start slipping
don't
away.
Get the recovery time. And
yeah. So, for me, everything points towards a Waterford win.
Yeah, I don't want to sound like a broken record with the same comments on the same teams every week, but you really would like to see Akinade start putting a few away. But obviously, Drinnen has come into that team and started scoring the last couple of weeks. Yeah. So, I suppose if he could do that and Akinade's playing his part by opening up space for him, then what does it matter, I suppose?
Yeah, I think Waterford will win this. I think a couple nil or something.
Yeah, I'd agree. Bohemians against Pats, our live game between the stripes, matchday live, live commentary Friday night from 7:40, myself and James Donnelly on mixlr.com/between the stripes.
Yeah, I didn't get asked, did I?
Oh, you didn't want to do the El Clasico?
No, I didn't. I wanted to be in the stands, but no, I'd be at work. No, I'll be listening in anyway, good Kieran, stuff. So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, it's the Dublin Derby, isn't it? It's going to be a cracker.
Ah, oh, should be brilliant. Sold out stand again at Daly Mount Park, so the atmosphere should be crackling. Should be a good away contingent.
Yeah.
Pats, we've spoken about them in depth on last week's show.
I think they have to try and get something here, because you know this is a big Dublin Derby, and the last thing they'll want, you know, with all the hopes they had for this season, would be to go to Bowes and suffer like a 2 or 3 nil or something.
I don't think by any stretch this will be a pretty game of football. I think this is going to be, again, a bit like the El Clasico last week. This is going to be a typical derby game, and it's going to be who wants it more.
There's going to be some tackles flying in. And
Pats, with the question marks hanging over them, have to go and show they have the bottle. to get something out of this game. If they lose this game, there's going to be huge pressure on Harry Kenny after the game. Now, I'm not suggesting by any means to be any calls for his head or anything like that, but with the start they've had, with the investment they made, this is a game they need to get something out of and stop the rot in that from the last couple of weeks.
I just think that, you know, full house at Bow, it's going to be such a cracking atmosphere, cracking occasion, and I think Bows will win this, Kieran.
I just have a different feeling about Bows this year. I think there's something really good going on there now.
I think that everything about the club is screams on the up, you know, sellouts and superb atmosphere, and the social media is brilliant, and yeah, it's really good, and you know, it's been an absolute credit to the division this year.
Yeah, look, give us your prediction, and then we'll go and we'll speak to James Talbot.
Perfect.
Prediction.
Oh, my prediction.
Yeah, please.
Home win, Kieran.
Home win. I'm going to follow you. Home win.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the Bohemians FC goalkeeper James Talbot on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. So I'm delighted to say Bohemians goalkeeper James Talbot joins us now for the first time on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. James, you're welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So James, I suppose you're a new name into the league this season, so maybe some supporters mightn't be familiar with your background. You started out with Home Farm and progressed through at Sunderland. Do you want to maybe tell us a little bit about your start out in football and maybe how Sunderland spotted you at Home Farm initially?
Yeah, well, funny enough, she started out at Tug Rovers. The team we had there, since I was three, I was at Tug Rovers and I left, I think it was about 11, 12. The team was unbelievable. I think it was six lads from that team growing up right to England. So that was unbelievable. And then it split up due to a lad retiring. There was a couple of things. Right. So two of the lads left and it ended up falling apart. And no one could take over. It was a pity, to be honest. Because it was a great club. But, and to be fair, it was... That's where that Ben Lindsay, local lad, he raised me towards football. Like, and it was sad to leave. I didn't want to leave. I know I was that young, but I didn't want to leave. So I ended up going to Home Farm, which again that was a great club. Was down to Colin Duff, Duffer. People would know. Like, he brought me down to the Home Farm, and I really enjoyed Home Farm. Before, obviously, I went to England then when I was 15. Just before I turned 16, I moved to North East, and that's where I started off playing professional football.
How did you get picked up by Sunderland then, James?
Well, Sunderland, I was actually a couple of clubs. So Sunderland was quite late. The county branch of the Toronto Gen back in the day, he brought me over quite late. But when I went over there, I felt at home. Like, I really enjoyed it. Like, the people who were at the club at the time were great. And it obviously helped. I was moving in with Dan Casey at the time. Obviously now, okay, but me and him were moving over together, which was an added bonus. So it was an overhead over there. Like, and the people over there, the players, I felt comfortable. Where other clubs I went to, I didn't feel comfortable, and there seemed to be groups and stuff like that. So I was happy to sign. Like, and that was it, really.
Yeah, but it was a tough time, really, at Sunderland. And I take it you weren't on the same salary as Darren Gibson.
Sorry, say that again?
No, I was saying there was some tough times there at Sunderland, and I take it you weren't on the same salary as Darren Gibson.
No, I wish. Sunderland have been through... I have a lot of mates over Sunderland, and they're Sunderland diehards, so... They haven't been through the best times. They're playing at Wembley the weekend. When I was trying to check trade, Shelby, but they've got new owners and stuff now. They'll come back to the league next few years, because it is a great club with a great fan base and stuff. But they did go through some bad times, especially when it didn't help with all the media with certain players. Obviously, you mentioned one there, like, but the club hasn't been through good times in recent years, but. It's slowly come back to the way it should be.
And did you get any first team appearances there, James? Because I mean, the attendances, even at the worst times, were still amazing there.
No, the attendances are unbelievable. Like, even now, like, they're breaking records every week. I never played for the first team. We went to every game, like every home game and stuff. I never actually made an appearance, but I travelled with a couple of teams, so that was about it. But no, I enjoy my time. Absolutely. Again, like I speak to people, I don't look back and say the best stuff because I had some of the best time of my life. Absolutely. So it was a dream to sign professional. So training players, like, obviously to me, it's important. Like, Kieran Westwood and John O'Shea and stuff, they looked after me when I went over. Like, so, like, to me, again, it's still a hero. When I was that young, like 16, 17 and stuff, and talking to them and training with Westy a lot, like healthy, and I mean, it makes you confident as well. They look after you and they talk to you, and especially Westy with the goalkeeper, like he was talking to you a lot and stuff. So it's good, even now, like he still talks to you now and again, like, and it's good, like, it's good to have, because today, like, they're probably, they're not really loyal that, like, when I'm that young, even now, like, I still look up to them, like, and whatever they say, like, I take on board, like.
Look, forget Kieran Westwood, you're working with an absolute legend now of Bowes in Chris Bennion. How are you finding working under the big Scotsman?
Yeah, Bennion's class. No, I really do. Because I didn't play for a while, so I was a bit nervous coming into Bowes, like, to be honest, and especially training, I was thinking of Mock Sharp and stuff like that. I know I play Gaelic, but it's goalkeeper's different. Like, people think, oh, you're thick because you play Gaelic. Goalkeeper's completely different. Like, so I was a bit nervous coming in, but Bennion's in top class, like, since I came in. Honestly, like, in the sessions, like, every session I go out, it's different, like, and that, like, that's unbelievable. Like, some sessions you come up and it's, you know what you're doing and stuff like that, but it's not in class, you know, between me, him, and the whole squad, like, it is really good. Like, so I look forward to every night.
Well, you're doing very well if you can understand his accent anyway for a start. There,
I know, you're not one to speak of accents.
Yes, to big himself up with Tim Touch, but he's terrible.
And it's fair to say you had a dream start to your career there with Bowes. Three clean sheets to start the season.
Yeah, no, couldn't really ask for any more, to be honest. No, I was over the middle, like, with the start. I quite needed that as well, because obviously with the play, first of all, like, I went to the Bowes wanting to be the number one. Like, Keith told me when I came in, like, you need to work for a spot, like. Obviously when subs return, like, so, like, and that's what I'm saying, like, subs, like, for subs leaving, for me to get the, like, the number one at the start of the season, like, I quite felt the pressure to play well, like, so, even now, like, every game, like, you know, I need to play well to keep the spot, like, we've obviously had a little blip the last couple of games, we haven't got the results we wanted, the performance haven't been too bad, I know, Derry wasn't great, but we still got a draw, and that Derry Cork, we didn't perform that bad in the first half and stuff, so just sloppy, like, I didn't have the greatest game, so, you know, I know I'm covering up the path if I'm playing, if I'm giving the jersey, I know I had to put in performance, like, so that's the way it is. I've never really had that. I suddenly, like, it was under 23s. I knew if I was playing, if I wasn't playing, so there's no pressure to play well, or even though you wanted to play well, like, but there's not that pressure, that extra little edge to go out and play well, because I know if I don't go play well this week, like, no, I'll be knocking the door. Keith be asking questions and stuff like that. And so I'm screwed on. We can tell them I need to do well. Obviously, we had a great start and all, but I'm not getting to even the squad as well. Like, people are talking at the start of the season because we won't train it down. We're down the wall for a drill, we're popping in and stuff like that. But it's really 36 games in. Like, it's really the season hasn't even developed yet. Like, so we are all, like, we're all concentrating, we're all, like, giving a head screwed on, especially me, like, because I'm, like, you can't see that, obviously, any keeper with any added bonus, like, once you play well, they're cherry on the cake, really, for the results. But the 3 points are the main thing, and obviously the performance, we look at itself. Like.
And just a final point, James, big game coming up this Friday night, a Dublin derby against Pats. Daly Mount looking again like it might be sold out for this one, which is brilliant. It must be a special club to play at, Bowes, and Daly Mount must be a special ground to play at when it's packed out like that, especially for a big game like this where it'll be a big travelling support as well.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I take so much pride in wearing Bowes jersey, like even when I run at the trail and stuff, like, just the gesture when I come in 10 minutes before a game, I put on a jersey, I feel special. And, like, even today, like, I have a few of my mates text me, I put in a group chat, I told them last week, I said, gonna sell out, lads, whatever, like, and they're like, yeah, grab, get them today. They text me, like, can you get me 3 tickets, here, 4 tickets, I'm saying, that's sold out, like, I actually can't do that in front of them. And it's unbelievable to know that. I know quite a few in in the stadium as well. So it's good to go out, and the atmosphere has been excellent. The fans since the Canada have been unbelievable. Like, even the first game, like, I don't think they're expecting, like, the atmosphere and stuff like that against Hearts. It's just unbelievable. It just shows the support that they've had for a year. Like, that's where we've grown without results because of them. Like, it helps a lot. Like,
well, James, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, and you can tell your mates in that group chat that if they can't make the game, if they can't get their hands on tickets, there's live exclusive commentary on Mixlr.com/Between the Stripes, myself and James Donnelly bringing live commentary from Daily Mail on Friday. So looking forward to that. James, thanks very much for joining us, and best wishes for the rest of the season. It's been a great start to life in the League of Ireland for yourself.
Thanks for having me on. Thanks, mate.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
So, John, great to have the Premier Division back in full swing this coming weekend, but let's go to the First Division predictions and... Do you want to do them, or do we just flip a coin for every game? Because
I think we'll throw a coin, Kieran, because we were terribly wrong last week. But to be fair, nobody was getting any of those last week, apart from the Longford Town result, which I got. But the rest of them, forget it. Right. We might do better this week.
Let's go to the game that happened Saturday night at the City Corner Stadium. Longford Town, they hold shells. They're coming in a little bit on the ropes. Can Longford hit them with a hard blow here?
I think the difference in Longford this season is the sign of Conor Kenner.
Solid at the back.
Yeah, really solid. I said to you, if we'd have had him last season, I think we'd have been at least in the playoffs.
Definitely.
Because he's added that solidity and experience at the back. And I just think Longford are hard to break down now.
I just think if you look across the entire back four, it's improved on last season.
Yeah.
Obviously, there was a big concern when Mick Kelly left in goals that it might be hard to replace him. Stacey's come in, he's been absolutely faultless.
He's solid, isn't he?
Yeah. Even his distribution is perfect. Elworthy, brilliant. Best right back in the league for me.
Yeah.
You've got Conor Kenner then, and there's a flip of a coin at the moment between Mick McDonald and Joe Manley. We need to see what way that plays out. It's been Mick McDonald the last couple of weeks, but... they're both young players, so to have someone like Kenna alongside them is crucial. And at left back last season, we felt Longford were a little bit weak in that position.
Very.
But in comes Anto Breslin this year, and he has been absolutely superb, the former Wolverhampton Wanderers man. So that back four is no issue. Midfield, Paul O'Connor was dropped for the derby.
Correct decision.
Yeah, 100%. Wasn't overly impressed with Peter Hopkins' display. I think maybe Carl Chambers, he should have scored off the bench the other night. I think he might start against Shells.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'll be the same 11. Aaron Dobbs was fantastic up front.
Yeah, he was. He puts a shift in, doesn't he? He's a real hard worker. Yeah, I think probably put Hopkins in, maybe just to give the left back a bit more of a torrid time.
Right,
but he does, yeah. But look, I'm not going to... you know, it's one match, and I just think Carl Chambers, he might not be as attacking a threat, but I think he's more solid, and works very well with Elworthy as well down that flank.
I think that might be a decision for Fenn to make, but looking from Michelle's point of view, Morehouse will be suspended, so they're down a key man there. But I mean, with a squad of their quality, does that really matter when they've got the likes of Conan Byrne, Ryan Brennan, Kieran Kilduff?
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I have to say, it's going to be a cracking match. But I just think with the form Longford are in at the moment, I think they might sneak this one.
Right. I'm hoping there'll be a big Shells contingent travelling, because there will be a great home atmosphere for this one.
It should be a good
turnout, but there's always that bit of edge when there's an away crowd there. So
you
want that. It's a good advert for the First Division.
Yeah.
My point of view, I think this one might be a draw, to be honest. I think, as you said, Longford have been quite solid at the back, but they do have a tendency, I know they haven't conceded many goals this season, but they do have a tendency to catch themselves up and get themselves in knots playing out from the back sometimes, and they get away with it against certain sides. But someone like Shells, when you have Kilduff up there sniffing around, you're not going to get away with it. So I think Shells might get on the score sheet, but Longford, they've showed enough attacking promise in their games from all over the pitch. As we've mentioned, the fullbacks have got up, they've put crosses in, they look dangerous from set pieces. You've got a good variety in midfield with the likes of Dervin, the likes of Verdon, and then you've got Dobbs, and if he's not playing well, you can bring Doyle off the bench. So plenty of options for Longford. I think they'll get a point.
Okay, Kieran.
Finally, we disagree on one.
Well, I've gone with the heart anyway. So, Bray hosting Cove. Bray will be desperate to bounce back with this one.
yeah, big game now for Gary Cronin, as you mentioned, and Cove are looking to continue their little bit of momentum that they've built up in recent weeks. How do you see this one going?
Well, I'm going with Bray, purely because they can't be as bad as they were last weekend, surely.
Do you think it was just simply down to complacency last weekend? Not to take away, obviously, a fine display from Wexford. I'm sure you've seen the two goals they scored were absolute crackers as well.
Yeah, I think there could be a bit of that in it, Kieran. I doubt that Gary Cronin had him set up thinking that he was going to walk it, but I suppose you don't know, you know. No, I expect them to perform better. They'll have had a rocket after that. And
they've got some very proud pros, as I'd call them, in that squad. Yeah. The likes of Keegan, the likes of Douglas. I don't think they're going to be accepting performances and results like that. No. So,
but I am delighted to see Cove improving. I like the club. I think they're a bit... it's a bit of an against all odds thing with Cove, isn't
that's
it?
That's what I think I said on last week's show. So
delighted to see them improving. I just think this might be a step too far.
Again, just like we said about Finn Harris, it's so tough for a Cove part-time team travelling on a Friday night away from home. It really is difficult for them. I'm getting tough to call this one though, because... admittedly, I haven't seen Bray in action this season, so I can't overly comment on their style of play or anything, but I've spoken to people that have seen them in action and they haven't been impressed. And their star signings started the season really, really well, but in the last couple of weeks we haven't seen them on the score sheets. Now again, that's not to say that they're not playing well and contributing. We haven't seen them. I will see them in the next couple of weeks. But naturally you would be thinking with those players in the squad they have enough, but Cove are such an awkward side to break down. I think they're going to get something from this. I'm going to call this a draw.
Right, finally. Good. Okay. Yeah, well, look, it could quite easily be, but we'll see on that one.
These games are so impossible to do. Oh, look. You just have to keep talking until something comes out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you'd done any research beforehand, Kieran, you'd have had all this sorted out.
Research.
Yeah.
That's for Duff and the boys.
Cabin Seal against Galway, Kieran.
Again, the pitch will be a big factor in this game. I wouldn't expect... a very attractive game for either side. Cabin Teely would be a more direct side than Galway.
I think they're a better side on the travels, aren't they, Cabin Teely? I just get that feeling.
Well, last season they pulled off big results at home, but again, that was because of the circumstances of travelling to a place like Stradbrook. Galway do like to play a nice brand of football, but again, they're travelling away from home, a young side. They've had some disappointing results in the last few weeks, so is there the character in that dressing room to bounce back and to go to somewhere like Cabo and get a win? I'm not so sure. I think Cabo, if they don't win this one, they'll get something from it.
Yeah, I think they'll edge it, Kieran. I'm going for another home win.
Right, well, I'm just going to go the opposite just to keep a balance, so I'll say a draw.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Drogheda host Wexford, Kieran.
Just on that, I think it's nearly a flip of a coin for those games that have been played at Stradbrook at the moment, because the pitch is so bad for both teams, and I don't want to keep harping on about it. But it's in an appalling condition.
I don't think you've mentioned it, Kieran.
The ball does not stay on the deck when you pass it. It bounces over your head. So,
a bit like Oriel then.
Here we go. Go on, get on. Speaking of loud, get on to Drogheda.
Yeah.
Drogheda against Wexford.
Drogheda against Wexford. Well, what a fantastic result last week for Wexford. We didn't see that coming. Can they do it again? Can they get two on the spin? Nah, Drogheda for me.
That's very risky stuff just to throw it away like that.
Yeah, I know. But that's...
after last week's result. Yeah. Like we said, we haven't been overly impressed with Drogheda, but you'd like to think now after getting that win last time out that there's going to be some sort of reaction. But again, another issue that we've harped on about a bit is the ticket prices. And no disrespect to Wexford, I know I'm not popular down there as it is, but they wouldn't be the biggest draw in terms of bringing out a crowd.
You're not popular in Longford, never mind Wexford.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. They wouldn't be the biggest draw, and with the prices the way they are, with the team not doing so well, you're probably looking at a very small turnout. And I've spoken to players about this in the First Division in recent years, about going out in front of a crowd of maybe 100 people where there's zero atmosphere.
Yeah.
And they do all admit, it's as professionals, it shouldn't affect them, but it does affect them. So I'm going to go for something crazy again. I'm going to say this will be a draw.
Right, okay. Well, look, we've said before, these are hard to predict, so we're doing as best, folks, anyway.
Yeah, don't have the betting slip out.
No, don't. Final match, Limerick host Athlone.
I can't wait for the First Division to settle down, because this is stressful business every week trying to call these games.
Very difficult, isn't it?
I was impressed with Athlone against Longford, but they're going away from home this time against a Limerick side that's got a bit of momentum going now. As we said, you'd like the people of Limerick to come out and start supporting their team a little bit more now. The things are starting to finally settle down there. I think they'll just nick this one, John. I think they just have enough in their side.
Yeah, I took a bit of a bashing about what I said about Athlone, but you know, I just think it's a massive ask for them to go from absolute also-rans in the in the league. You know, amateur setup, so many questions about what was going on off the field. Now, Terry's done a great job to get the squad he has now, but I just think it's just a massive ask to
go
from.
The football they're playing is quite attractive. It's not football stuff. It's
And I think what he's done is he's built a really good solid back four, I think. It's pretty solid.
And that was the area of the pitch we questioned in pre-season when we were looking at their squad, and I went out to a couple of the pre-season games, but they've grown into their own there, them players.
Yeah, and I don't think we'll be seeing the hammerings that they were taking last season and calamity goalkeeping.
Bar the Cove Wexford result, that's pretty much the only ridiculous scoreline we've seen in the First Division this season. So that's already a massive improvement on what was a decent league last year.
Yeah, so that was my only thoughts on Athlone. As for this match,
Bumpy pitch.
Yeah, bumpy pitch. I've got 9 home wins already. I'm going to go for a perfect 10. Home win, Kieran.
You should definitely stick a euro on that because something crazy like that will happen in this league.
I'm not a betting man, but if it's odds like you were saying last week, then I might do. I could do to retire.
You're going for the home win.
I am, Kieran.
Yeah, I'm going to follow you on that one. Final interview of the night, folks. Delighted to say we're joined on the line now by the Limerick FC boss, Tommy Barrett. So, Limerick FC boss, Tommy Barrett, joins us now on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Tommy, welcome back to the show.
Cheers, Kieran. Thank you.
I know you've been putting out SOS messages to get on and speak to myself and John, so we said we'd make your wish come true, and here we are.
All right, yeah. No. It was more of having a bit of banter, you know. I know you don't go swaying too far from Hendo on that, you know, it's ending offence, so we said we might try something different.
Yeah, it was a toss of the coin after Cove's big win against Shells, but no, we said we'd put you out of your misery and get you on, so thanks for joining us as always. But Tommy, in all seriousness, great start to the season for Limerick, only a point off top. I don't think too many seen that coming. You have a home game against Athlone this Friday night. Would it be too much to label this a dream start for Limerick?
Yeah, it probably is. Look, it's only a start, I suppose. That's it, you know. 4 or 5 games, the pitches are still poor. Conditions, you know, the playing conditions, wintry weather, windy weather, you know, that kind of stuff. So I don't think you can really find out maybe 10, 11, 12 games in where you're really at, you know. So I think it is a bit early to go. I suppose a couple of weeks ago when we drew 2-1 last one, we had a terrible start. So, you know, that's what people were saying. So it's... yeah, you know, look, we take it with a pinch of salt, take it game by game.
Yeah, as you said, football, it's a results business, and one result can really sway public opinion. It probably, unlike any other sport, I think the mood swings quite dramatically. But is it fair to say that maybe there's still a bit of negativity lingering around the Limerick area after last season? Has it been hard to shake that? And obviously attendances have dropped a bit in the last few weeks, which is worrying.
Yeah, well, look, just looking back on last season, I suppose, I felt we finished where we probably finished ahead of Bray when they probably had a better squad, to be fair, you know, more experienced players and the likes of that. So I think we failed all right in the Marcus Field on the final day. I thought up in Harps on the first day we were probably the better team. We were unlucky to go to be behind in that tie, but... we did, you know, as a group, let ourselves down probably on the final day. But in saying that, look, Harps were, you know, they probably on that pitch that day, they probably had more experienced players than us. And, you know, we had lost a lot of players during the season and we were missing a few through injury. But I feel we put a good mixture of experience and youth this year. You know, off the field stuff, you know, look, there was bits and pieces, obviously, where, you know, there was late payments and that. But in fairness to Pat, you know, he doesn't owe anyone, the chairman doesn't owe anyone any money. And he's done, you know, he's done his best to keep the club afloat. So I suppose this year we've put our cloth to suit our manager, I think. And it was the appropriate thing to do. You know, there's obviously a few more bits and pieces for myself to be doing around the place as well, because we lost two good administrators in John Kennedy and Karen Judge, you know. They were on the board and they're not around anymore, and they were really good lads about the place to keep the club running. So, you know, Pat has brought another few lads in now, and you know, there's a bit of a change, there's a bit of a learning, and, you know, there's a few bits that I'm trying to help out with as well. And we obviously will ask Willie Bowen with the academy, and, you know, Gary Manning is in there on the interim basis. So all those things are kind of, you know, I'm kind of have a bit of activity in as well, with just, you know, I'm kind of in about the place helping out there. So it's not just on the pitch stuff as well, you know.
So it's going to take a little while for it all to settle down at Limerick then.
Yeah, I think it will, you know. I think it's going to take time, John, because, you know, I've been saying it consistently, you know, we need to start, you know, probably a bit like probably Longford, really, you know, and Bray, what they're trying to do. We have to try, you know, build an identity again and see where we're at, you know, because we were in the first division for 20 years, and the only time we really got out of it was with big budgets, and, you know, we were hovering around the lower end of the Premier League and up and down for a couple of years. So, and look, you see how hard it is this year, you know, with the lads, the teams have gone up, UCD and Harps, you know, Harps, I don't think have won a game yet. So, you know, it's a really difficult league to get wins in, especially because all the other teams are so professional, and, you know, they have a good pick of players and their budgets are very high, and, you know, so you have to produce your own players and you have to kind of, you know, build it and slowly build it, I think, over a period of time.
And it's fair to say that the First Division has thrown up quite a few surprises so far, and we're having awful problems even predicting matches. There's 3 points between the top 8 clubs, and, you know, it's so difficult to think about who's going to be there at the end of the season. A lot of people were expecting Shells to start really strongly, but hasn't quite happened. But, you know, who's impressed you so far, Tommy, in that league?
Yeah, look, of the teams we've played, I still think it's going to be, you know, we haven't played Shells yet, but we've played Bray, Drogheda and Longford, obviously, and obviously Cove as well, and Cavintilly. But I suppose, I think those top four that were originally, you know, sounded out to be in the top four, I think, you know, Drogheda, Bray, Longford, Shelburne, I think those will be thereabouts. You'd see again after 10-12 games that those teams start picking up points, I feel. But in saying that, I think, you know, in fairness to Cavintilly and Cove, they caused us problems, you know, particularly Cove at home, from an attacking point of view. You know, that game could have been any score. It could have been 7-4 to us, like, you know, that kind of way. And it caused us a lot of problems. And Cavintilly, you know, particularly from set piece in the last few minutes, it caused us a lot of problems as well. But from a footballing point of view, I think, you know, we could have been 1-0 up against Bray, but they were better than us on the day. I felt Longford and Drogheda were two very good teams as well. And they were good draws for us because I felt probably they were... probably from a possession point of view, they were probably better than us. But then again, they were further ahead than us in terms of preparation and players that they brought in. So and players that they already kept from last year. So, you know, we're a work in progress, and hopefully we can go on. But I think to make a long story short, I think you'd see leveling out 10-12 games, and you'd see the top four being the top four with maybe someone breaking into that. You know. Hopefully.
Could that someone be Limerick, Tommy?
I think it could be Cove, you know, it could be Galway, you know, they could go on a run. I think it could be, like, obviously Cavintilly could have went top. I think it could be any of the rest of the teams, to be quite honest. Obviously Athlone have 9 points in the bag, so, you know, they've got a decent away record. They've beat Cove and Bray in their last two games, so it could be any of the other six.
Yeah, myself and John were certainly impressed with that loan, even though they went down to Longford at the weekend. So a tough game for your lads there. I'm sure you're looking for a strong home backing for this one, because, as you said, it's a big opportunity for Limerick to stamp a place in that higher end of the table early on in the season.
Definitely, yeah, Kieran. I think, you know, at loan, they've proven tricky opposition for everyone that they've played. And, you know, Shelburne, okay, beat them 2-0, and yourselves beat them 1-0. Or Longford, I say yourselves. But
yeah, totally unbiased there.
Longford beat them 1-0. Yeah. And, you know, so it really is a tough division. And, you know, we can't obviously take anything for granted. They're ahead of us on the table. They've won two matches away, as I said already. So, you know, they'll come and... But there's no easy games. There's no easy games for us, certainly in this division, and we said that from the start. So, but if we're honest, we can get results against anyone.
Yeah, and as John ironically pointed out to me last weekend, all the giving out we've done about pitches, it was Longford's game that was called off a couple of weekends ago for a waterlogged pitch. But how is the pitch in the Marcus Field shaping up? Because it was a bit choppy early in the season. Obviously, there's rugby played there, so I'm sure you're expecting it to improve as the season goes on.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you know, it usually gets better in the summer. There wasn't too much rugby played in it, but it's, you know, when we were looking after ourselves a couple of years ago, I think it got pitch of the year.
Yeah,
so,
it's a great surface.
You know, to be honest, it's a field at the moment. It was in terrible condition last week against Cove. It's not good enough. You know, Kevin Teely's pitch was in terrible condition altogether as well. You know, it was brutal.
What was your thoughts on that, Tommy, when you arrived at the ground at Stradbroke? Because it's something we've discussed recently about Wayside's turning up at Stradbroke. I'm sure you don't want to go in too hard on other teams, but is standards like that acceptable now in the League of Ireland, even in the First Division?
No, it's not. It's not acceptable from our own point of view. We're not happy with our pitch. Well, I certainly not anyway. You know, and I could say it now because we won. You know, if yeah. I said it when we won, when I'd be, you know, sour grapes kind of fella. But you know, we want to see a good product on the pitch. And we want to see an entertaining football. And look, that doesn't suit Kevin Teely up there either. You know, Kevin Teely want to play. I don't think it suits them because they've lost a couple of games there, you know, and drew. So they lost against us in Bray and they drew again. I don't think they've won there on that pitch. So it certainly doesn't suit Kevin Teely either. So it just doesn't suit anyone. You got to go and play. It was like a throwback to the 80s, that game. It was probably, it was a poor game. It was just balls launched and it was just a war of attrition. And whoever deals with the conditions better, and we probably dealt with them better on the day, you know.
And finally, for anyone that hasn't seen your side this season, who stood out for Limerick so far? Because as you said, you've got a good blend of youth and experience there. We've had a lot of between the stripes reporters at your games, and certainly a lot of the lads have come back very impressed with Robbie Williams so far this season.
Yeah, look, Robbie's he's very experienced. He's a really good player. Look, the man that matched to give him last week, I thought it was a bit. You know, I didn't think we were under too much pressure, to be fair. You know, there was balls launched down his throat. We could have been three up before halftime, before they scored. I felt we should have been outside if we took our chances. But in saying that, you know, the last 10, 15 minutes, he certainly, you know, came into his own. That kind of put us under a bit of pressure. And, you know, but he's been really good. He's a good leader. He's good with the young lads, to be fair to him. He's in good condition. You know, but look, we have those experienced lads, Shane Tracy as well, and Sean Kelly. Jack Brady's been decent, to be fair to him, second goals in every aspect. And we have an exciting attack line now as well, you know, with the likes of Carlos Sullivan, Kieran Hanlon, Sean McSweeney, Conor Ellis is scoring now as well, you know, and the two boys are doing their job in the midfield, Darren Murphy and Jason Hughes. So, you know, all around we're decent, you know. When Killian Bruder was injured, we had a 17-year-old playing centre back against Longford, and he played against Bray as well. So, you know, we have some good young players coming through. Aaron Fitch has played left back as well. You know, we've had a lot of injuries. We've only a squad of 23, and like five or six of those are 19s. So we're dealing with a lot of injuries, and you know, they're all kind of trauma and impact injuries. So the lads will get game time and they'll play. So we have a few this weekend now again.
Yeah, so there you have it. There you have it.
Let's step up to the mark.
There you have it, Limerick fans. An exciting team been put together by Tommy Barrett this season at Limerick, and a home game this Friday night against Athlone Town. So get out and support your local side. Tommy, thanks very much for joining us, and best wishes for the rest of the season.
No bother, lads. Take care. All the best. Thank you.
So, John, that brings us to the end of yet another great Between the Stripes LOA podcast. It was our 7th episode of Series 3 tonight. As always, thanks to John for joining me here tonight. Just a reminder, our sponsors, Flowmax.ie, Diageo.ie and stmelsbrewing.com. Please support our sponsors as they support us. A final reminder, live an exclusive match commentary this Friday night from Dalymount Park. Bows against Pats, a huge sold out Dublin derby. And myself and James Donnelly will be there. So go to mixlr.com/between the stripes and follow us there now free of charge, and you will get live commentary and you'll be able to interact with us during the game. And there should be a great episode of Between the Stripes TV this weekend. We have reporters at 5 or 6 of the grounds, as far as I'm aware. So loads of interviews. We'll have a League of Ireland review show. So subscribe to that on YouTube free of charge. It's Between the Stripes TV. Thanks for listening, folks, and we'll be back again once again next week with more fantastic guests.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audioboom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode.
You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.